KFOE, live and local, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, presents the On Air Chat. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Souter and Aaron Harder.
A couple of pictures of Amanda.
Good morning. Welcome to the On Air Chat. We'll have Lucas explain that here in a second. We're brought to you by CB Financial. Craig Barnwell feels the income is the outcome that matters most in retirement. Call 620-208-6777 for a free consultation. And Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. Good morning, Steve Souter.
Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm recovering. We were with the Royals last night until the eighth inning, and they had a little tough luck. Bobby Witt Jr., who is proven to be pretty miraculous, made some errors.
Had an awesome game Monday night, though, didn't he?
You know, and the plays he made the errors on, it wasn't like, I mean, one of them was a routine ball, but the others he was had to be quick. And so it's disappointing, but anyway, we, like I said, we've recovered. So
the four-game win streak still eludes the Royals this year.
Well, no, that was they did win four, didn't they?
I think they were going for they had three. They were going for four.
What, didn't they win the last game against Cleveland?
And then two again, and then the doubleheader.
Yeah. Okay, three. So, well, see, I probably was praying for the wrong thing. I was praying for a four-game streak, and so anyway, we got an exciting guest today.
We do. Lots of things happening.
Yeah, crosswinds, which. Boy, how do you define that? What is crosswinds?
To me?
To you.
Any and all things having to do with making people better.
There you
go. Mental health services.
Simple. Okay. We have the CEO, Amanda Cunningham, with us. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
And we have Lucas Moody, who, what's your title, Lucas?
I am the development director.
Development director.
Fancy.
Well, that's a... That's an interesting title in a situation where you guys are doing some serious development.
We have a lot going on right now.
Yeah, I'd say so. I heard Chuck talk a little bit about this morning. We'll get back to that. But as I was telling you before we started, we got to do a little bio section here before we talk about crosswinds today and the future. And Amanda, I want to know, I mean, you're the CEO of Crosswinds. Do us, you know, not in 25 words or less, but in a couple of minutes, tell us how you got there. And I want you to at least start with being a Lady Hornet, because I have some I have a feeling some people out there don't know that you were, were you part of Cindy Stein? Was she your coach?
I had Cindy a year and Brandon a year.
So you came.
I got both of them, which was great.
And you played with Flick.
Yes.
I mean, you're probably asked more about playing with Koshaites.
I get that a lot, too, yes.
But our discussion in the car last night coming home from the Royals game, and I will tell you, names elude me, and I was trying to remember your maiden name.
Duncan.
I know. Oh. Now, but I had to text Shane. I text Shane and Russ Jenkins.
Uh-huh.
See, I don't have Alzheimer's. Because I can figure out how to figure it out. So I text them and I said, so who's going to win this one? And so then I remember I could see your mom and dad.
Yeah.
See their faces and everything else. So tell us about Amanda Duncan and how you became a Lady Hornet.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Ottawa and my parents were both educators. And so I decided early on that that's not what I was going to do. They both ended up being an admin, superintendents. And then my mom was a professor at Emporia State. And I did have a love of basketball. I actually met Amanda Flick in high school. We played some AAU together, and so when we ended up back here, that was kind of exciting. And I decided early on that I wanted to be a child psychologist. I had read a book or two that had that as a fictional character, and I thought, that seems kind of cool. And I just stayed on that path. And so I went to Barton County out in Great Bend first and played basketball, and then transferred to Emporia State and got to be a Lady Hornet with two pretty amazing coaches that have done really well for themselves, and we had a really exciting team and a great experience. And then I went on to get my master's at Emporia State and did an internship at then the Mental Health Center of East Central Kansas, and have been there since. It's just been a couple years, but
so you're that classic Emporia State story we love to hear, that people come here and stay here.
Yeah, absolutely. Emporia has been great. And I do attribute a lot of that to my experience on the basketball team. The community really surrounded the team. That was kind of the beginning of Emporia State Lady Basketball and how connected it was to the community. And in the position I'm in now, I still have lots of relationships. You, for example, were one of those biggest fans at the time, and we've just always been able to maintain contact and have those relationships. And there's a lot of those individuals in town. I really see Emporia as a great place. We, both my husband and I, decided this was where we wanted to raise our kids, and it's been wonderful.
Before you tell us about your family and your kids and your husband, it just dawns on me as you say that, you know, there ought to be a statue of Cindy Stein out in front of White Auditorium, because, you know, she started something. I mean, she really turned things around.
I mean,
Lady Hornet basketball was okay, but pretty average. And in 3 years here, she really transformed things. And then, of course, you give credit to Brandon and Jory and Toby. They just keep it going.
Yeah. Yep. And it's fun. We still stay pretty involved. My husband and I and Amanda Flick continue to do the scores table for games. And it's nice to just stay connected a little bit to that culture.
Okay. Tell us about your husband and your – I mean, can you say something nice about him?
I can, although Aaron might kick me under the table.
Might not agree.
Rick is a sports supervisor at Emporia Recreation Center. He also was a student athlete at Emporia State. He played baseball and coached for a little bit. But we have four kids that we're raising, and they keep us busy enough that that's about all we do besides work.
He played for Dave Bingham, right? Or did he play for Embury?
He played for Embury.
He knew Bingham. Bingham was, you're going to make me go way back.
Maybe his freshman
year? His junior year.
Was
here because he coached
year?
In the summer for him. And then,
I mean, I think it was Embury both.
Embury, so. Mostly. And then coached with Fernelli a little bit.
I won't be able to make the point I was going to make with Cindy Stein and Dave Bingham. I mean, we've had some great baseball coaches, but I'm not sure any of them measure up to Bingham in terms of the effect he had on the kids that played for him. So, anyway. All right. Amanda Cunningham, CEO of Crosswinds. Real quick, professionally, how did you ascend to this title? What was your path?
Well, so I started out as an intern when I was getting my child psychology master's degree, and then served as a therapist and managed our crisis team. Then a few years after that, I was our quality risk management director for a while, and then got to be chief operations officer and then moved into this role. So kind of worn a lot of hats and learned a lot of things along the way.
You, and there's some legacy there too. Tell me, who were the directors that, I mean, I remember John Randolph.
Dr. Randolph's been the longest standing director of Crosswinds, and then Bill Persinger was here for 10-11 years prior to Rob Rehnquist, who was here just a couple years before
I took over. So you got some pretty big shoes to fill.
Yeah, always.
There you go. Okay, Lucas Moody, tell me again your title.
So I'm the development director.
Development director. Yep. Tell us where Lucas grew up and a little bit about you. You weren't a Lady Hornet, were you?
I was not a Lady Hornet. I did start off the segment today live on the radio talking about digging up old pictures of Amanda. Those were old basketball Lady Hornet pictures of Amanda that I was digging up to share whenever I had heard
that she was a
Lady Hornet. I didn't want to skip over it. A little bit about me. I grew up in Coffeville, Kansas. So I grew up down in southeast Kansas. Really grew up with a pretty large, diverse, broken kind of family. Some parents were divorced. I have two biological brothers. And then as we were growing up, my mom got remarried, had an older sister and a younger stepbrother. My older sister was murdered through domestic violence, which caused a lot of chaos within the family and a lot of time and energy spent somewhere else. We ended up adopting her daughter at the time, which was one, who became my sister. Did an adoption of two other siblings. So my family went from most of my life three to nine and growing and a bunch of different parts. So I've always kind of grown up with a little bit of the strong advocacy side when you come from a family that big. You really have to kind of fight for the things you want to be you want. You got to fight for your voice to be heard at the table sometimes. But it was always kind of a loving home down there. I had great grandparents that were super supportive, and so I always kind of give a little bit of credit to them throughout my story because they were a doors always open kind of place. We could walk in with friends at 10 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night, and food was going to be ready to be sat on the table. And it was just a place where you could cry on the front porch because you were scared, or laugh in the backyard in the pool because they wanted to have a place for the kids to come that was safe and welcoming. And so I've just always kind of grown up with that kind of vibe and family around me. I was going to drop out of high school. Parents would not let me. I ended up going to community college because my two choices were work construction with my father, who owned a construction company, or go to community college. And I showed up day one to a class, and the Mental Health Center, Four County Mental Health, was there doing a presentation on summer programs and after-school programs for kids. Paid a couple dollars more an hour than the part-time fast food job I was working, so I jumped at the opportunity, and really kind of life changed. I found a passion for what I did. I had an incredible boss that probably saw through my own perceptions of me and really not having a lot of worth, gave me some responsibility and kind of pushed me forward down this path.
Unbelievable. Amanda, were you involved in interviews with Lucas when he came to work at Crosswinds?
Well, actually, it's a nice story for how he joined Crosswinds team. He was on our board of directors for a couple of years, and so when our development position came open, he was actually our, you know, we kind of asked him to apply and consider that, and so I was, and he's just done a great job and stepped right in and really helped get our name out there even more in the community.
I'm just thinking when he went through what he just went through with us, when he's applying for the job, would you say, you ought to be a writer? I mean, you can't make this stuff
Steve
up.
Well, never seen my
spelling. Yeah, he could tell stories. He's a very good storyteller, and someone else should write it for him.
That's really my motto.
You have a
typer only.
Hyper ability to misspell words.
I am really, really good at it.
At misspelling.
I had an English professor at KU, and I got paper, and it was creative writing, and she was letting me get by with a lot of stuff. And then one day I got a paper back, and it had red circles everywhere. She said, "Your heroic effort at misspelling words has finally caught up with you."
Yeah. You know, but it is nice. I mean, I think when someone can tell their story, it draws people in and really helps, you know, kind of reduce that wall of it's not okay to talk about it. And so then it kind of opens up the room and says, oh, wait, if he can tell his story, I can tell mine. And we can start to kind of normalize that it's okay to talk about it. And people can be very successful even with some of those traumatic backgrounds and bad things that happen to us.
Well, and I think I'm accurate in saying when you get into rehabilitation and some of those things, an awful lot of the counselors are, I don't know, victims isn't the word, but have needed to have help.
You know, I think when
recovering, I guess.
Yeah, I think when I first started, I would have said that was more on the substance use side. You would see substance use providers have some history and bring that to the table. I think we're seeing that more and more with the mental health field, which is great. Just, you know, if people have their own recovery and their own story, then it helps really to help move them forward and help others as well.
Well, there's a lot of that goes into the whole conversation of what mental health is, of just getting to a point where we're comfortable having a conversation about mental health, realizing that mental health isn't always this extreme version of the picture of what mental health is on TV and those type of things. And the more we start diving into trauma and the more we start diving into that normalizing conversation, we really realize that everybody's kind of got their path. We all have something that we're dealing with. And so the support network becomes bigger. And when that support network becomes bigger, it's a lot easier to have those conversations because you feel like it could be relatable to other people. So I think some of that, it's probably always been there in my opinion, that I think people go into the helping field because they have life experiences and you get a passion for it through that. But I really think that we're seeing it more through stories and just visually knowing that it's there because the comfort level has changed a lot.
Well,
Go ahead.
I would add that I was starting to say that a little bit of, I we definitely, Lucas made a good point, we all have those experiences. And so I think sometimes we think it has to be those big episodes where mental health is really our everyday life. Stress, you know, dealing with health issues, dealing with family issues, all those things create things that we have to work through. I mean, one of the biggest protective factors for when we talk about mental health is problem solving. And so that's just, what do we take with the challenge and how do we address it? And so just being willing to talk about that and recognize that all of us have had some incident where we've had to rely on some of those skills. Grief would be another big one that we all experience.
Do you guys feel pressure, though, now with the stuff that's going on in our country with the guns and everything and so many? I mean, it seems like the escape hatch for everybody that doesn't have an answer is, well, we need to do a better job with mental health.
Definitely. Mental health is at the forefront of everybody's thoughts. I mean, you can't talk to a professional that doesn't have to deal with it every day at their own work. You can't talk to a person on the streets that's not having to deal with it either personally or with a family member or a loved one. And then, of course, the national outlook of what's happening beyond even just gun control, but just how we deal with politics and our difference of opinions and what we write on social media and how we treat one another is a lot of pressure. But I think it all comes down to the fundamental, very basic thought of, you know, how important it is that we treat one another well. And one be human.
One of the things that we continue to talk about in my office specifically is a lot of those pressures that, you know, part of what our job is the development team is to be out there and highlighting our programs and highlighting our projects and really listening at a community level and even an interagency level of listening to where these barriers are and removing those barriers for access to services. And there's a lot of conversations that you watch the news and it's like, it's just a mental health issue, or you hear somebody say it's a mental health issue, and you know it does. I think it puts a lot of pressure on the people that are working the front line to try to solve all the problems. And one of the things that we continue to have the conversation in our department is to remind ourselves that I don't have the ability to solve all the problems. What I have the ability to do is to help remove the barriers that give us access to the services we need. And that's the continued conversation, is how do we remove barriers to make sure people know we're there and to know that it's accessible if they need it.
And educate people. I think that's been a huge thing over the last few years that we've really pushed out there. You know, because we need that education in a sense of not everybody needs to come in and get professional help. If we can put those protective factors in place, if we can identify, I'm struggling and talk to my support person, because that's another big protective factor is who are your supports that you have around you? Who are your friends and how are you engaging with them? And so really educating on what those signs and symptoms look like, that it can impact all of us and how can we help one another in times of stress and unrest so that we can be healthier all the way around, because it's really a community impact.
We're visiting with CEO of Crosswinds, our local, actually, what, eight counties?
Seven.
Seven counties. Yep. Mental health organization, Amanda Cunningham, who is the CEO. I think I said that. Lucas Moody, who is a development director. And before we go to break, you know, we were talking about some of the challenges. Does anybody spend time trying to figure out how we got here? I mean, because it seems like that as a country, we've kind of gone backwards that we're less tolerant of each other all of a sudden and polarized. And how in the world did that happen?
I don't know. It definitely seems circular at times. I mean, we've seen history repeat itself over and over as a society. I think we have to focus on moving forward and how do we get people back to those core values and how we treat each other and morals. To kind of get over this hump, but I don't know how we got here, but it's not going to get any better anytime soon, it doesn't feel like, as long as we can misuse social media in a way that kind of says you can say what you want and act how you want and treat people how you want, and there's a little safety behind the screen. And so we got to get out of that. We got to remember that we're all human and how to be kind to one another and be flexible.
All right. We'll talk more about that, and you guys have got a little project going on. Moving day coming up, huh?
Well, it's a little farther out.
That almost made my back hurt.
But, yes.
Yeah, we'll get to that when we return. This is the on-air chat. Steve and Aaron holding down the fort today, and Bruce Davis Construction and CB Financial make it all possible. You're listening to KVUE. We are live, and we are local.
Income is the outcome that matters most in retirement. I'm Craig Barnwell with CB Financial, and I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. If I doubled your portfolio, that might not change your lifestyle. You'd still be you. However, if I doubled your income, that could make a significant impact on your retirement. So whether you're retired or you want to see how soon that can happen, give us a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. You can reach us at 620-208-6777. That's 620-208-6777. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial.
Bruce Davis Construction, your go-to guys when you need commercial dirt work. From demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
Garage sale listings on the air and on the web.
It's so convenient.
At garage sale prices.
And it's just wherever you need it.
Log on to KVOE.com for details.
KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and time now for headlines being brought to you by John Muckenthaler of Eck Real Estate. If you're in need of great customer service with your next real estate transaction, call John at 620-794-3134. Now for the 24-hour KVOE newsroom and a look at all the latest local headlines, here is Chuck Samples.
Thanks, Sean. Good morning, everybody. Home sales and the monthly home supply both increased at the city and county level. And the latest report from Sunflower Association of Realtors here in Emporia, we're up to 244 home sales for the year. Lyon County's total now is at 212. Bridge work continues on the Kansas Turnpike northeast of Emporia. Later this month, the Turnpike Authority contractor will be raising a bridge just south of mile marker 140, so about 12 miles to the northeast of Emporia. So Road 280 near that work zone will close for about 2 months as that work begins in late July. And matters affecting Lyon County seniors will highlight the Lyon County Commission's action session, which will start up at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning at the Lyon County Courthouse. KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team. Sunny today with a high of 91. More sunshine tomorrow with a high of 96. 96 again on Friday. And hot on Saturday with a high of 97. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, I'm Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Chuck. Currently, we do have a light southeast breeze, sunny skies, 83 degrees at KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. All the information you need, live and local. Headlines are brought to you this hour by John Muckenthaler of Eck Real Estate. If you're in need of great customer service with your next real estate transaction, call John at 620-794-3134.
Welcome back to the On Air Chat. Crosswinds leaders Amanda Cunningham and Lucas Moody are our guests. And Lucas, Aaron said that he and the two of you wanted to visit with me about something. What do you got going on? Why would you want to talk to somebody like me?
Well, everybody wants to talk to you, Steve.
Yeah, I understand.
So at Crosswinds, we have, our main office is at 1000 Lincoln, just right across the street where we can look at each other. That building was built almost 30 years ago, so 28 years ago, on a land lease with the hospital. Space is needed as everybody's growing and good things are happening here. And so we found ourselves in a situation of needing to find some locations that fit our needs better and for the program growth that we're having. When I started, we had 130-some employees, and now we're up to 170-plus employees. So the need is there. And so we started a capital campaign to obtain and renovate some new space that met the needs of us better. So the campaign that we've got going on is called Breaking Stigma, Breaking Ground. Aaron is a part of it on our leadership team. And so really what it's about is it's identifying two locations. One location has already been identified and obtained, which is the old Chi Omega house right across the street from ESU, and that's going to be the home for our admin offices and some adult services in there, and it'll give us some really good space. The second location is about a block away, so it's within walking distance, and it'll give us a campus-style feel for our services, which in that building is not quite done yet, but we're in a really good place and really just kind of trying to wrap some stuff up on that. But it gives us a little more privacy. It's a little more situation where all of our therapy services, our children's programs, medication clinic, pharmacy, everything can kind of be in one location. So really what we're doing is we're taking eight of our buildings, and we're only keeping the two buildings that are more of a residential. So we have a long-term residential facility, and then we have a crisis house as well here in town. The other buildings are all going to be combined into two, so we're going to be able to have all of our services in kind of a one-stop shop area, and really kind of improve our access to care for the people we serve.
How long is this all going to take?
Well, the actual process of it, we're looking at about 9 months of renovation on each building. Mitchell Markowitz is doing that, so we get to work with Blake and Rick quite a bit. Blake and Brandy are also part of our leadership team, and so it's been really nice to have them in there early, along with Ben Moore, kind of having those conversations and really putting us in a position to make good decisions as we go forward. We're moving along in the capital campaign. I would say we're nearing the point of it really kind of being into the start of that public access part where we're talking about the campaign and we're really sharing the stories with people. The total campaign is going to be a little under $5 million for obtaining both the buildings and the renovation that we need to do on the buildings. We're almost $3 million in, so we're over the halfway point and have some good asks out and some good grant requests. Things like a maybe application that can come in and really help us access more funding within the community. And it's nice because it brings money in from out of the state back into Emporia.
Explain maybe. I know people
sure.
that are in fundraising business know what that is.
Yeah.
But there might be somebody out there that doesn't.
Absolutely. So maybe as a challenge grant. So maybe as a large funder that is now located in Texas, used to be located in Tulsa, now located in Texas. And the idea of maybe is that they do a lot with renovation for nonprofits in capital campaign settings. So you raise 40 to 50% of your funding, and then you can go to maybe and ask them to support your campaign up to 20%. So what you do is you fill out your application, you do your presentation, you make your phone calls, you send them all the information they need, a board looks at it, and then if they decide to get in at the 20% mark or whatever they're going to be in, it's a closeout grant. So it's more of a capstone challenge. And what the challenge is it really says, you've raised 50, we're going to give you 20, so you have 30 left. Well, you only get that 20. You only get that 20% from maybe if you close your campaign out and get that other 30%. So it really allows us to have conversations with people saying, listen, we've got somebody who's willing to give us $400,000, $500,000, $700,000, but the only way we get to bring that money into our community is by other people helping us access that funding. And so it just can help change the dynamics of the conversation a little bit. It puts a little more pressure on you. Because you only have 1 year to do it. So they give you 12 months from the moment they say go. You get 12 months to raise that money. And so it puts the pressure on the agency and really on our leadership team and myself to get out there and have these good conversations. I've told Aaron before that I always feel confident that the work we're doing and the amount of people that we're helping every year and the future of what mental health looks like in our community is a good enough conversation to be able to back it up with local people like that and be able to have some access to money in that conversation really just helps people see why they should be involved and why they should be involved now.
Visiting with Lucas Moody, is director of development for Crosswinds, talking about their capital campaign. So is this not public yet? I mean, obviously it's public because you've been talking about it, but
yeah.
Are you into your public phase?
Yeah, I would say that we're into the public phase now, probably for a couple weeks. One of the big things that really happens in that forefront is you spend a lot of time having those conversations, talking to foundations. Jones has been fantastic for our community when that money was kind of left for everything we're doing here and to support projects and to support kid programs and different things like that. That money has really been put to good use. I've been had the pleasure of being in a couple different capacities and nonprofits here where we've accessed some of that stuff. And Jones really kind of stepped up this year, even in pre-conversations, and said, listen, mental health is one of our focus points. We want to make sure that mental health is getting taken care of, not just in Lyon County, but in the other counties we cover as well. Let's have a deeper conversation. And so stepping up to the plate and having some really big supportive gifts like that at the beginning help out, that all kind of happens in the silent phase. And now that we're over that halfway mark, and especially with the answer hopefully coming any day now, we are really at that point where we've got to start spreading the message and the awareness of it.
So what can you share? I take it you got a grant from Jones.
We did. We got a grant from Jones for about $2.5 million. Some of that money did go towards supporting our children's programs. They have done a really great job of supporting our children's programs with some just some working capital money every year for the programs, so kids can get out and do social activities. I mean, part of what they do is called psychosocial groups. Well, the social piece is really big. Is we're learning all these skills and we're learning all of these things, but we need to put them to the test in these social situations. Let's get out and practice in these social situations where we have some support, where we have some guidance, and when we have those things. Jones really helps these kids get out of an in building situation and do some normalized summer activities and after school program activities. So that was one of our early gifts. We got a really nice gift from Stormont Vale. Stormont Vale was a program who has a foundation out of Topeka that has helped some of our programming out, especially with COVID. We offered some school supports. When school was closed, we still had these kids that maybe needed some extra guidance and some extra supports. And so we thought about, you know, we've got this school building here. We're already working. We might as well be able to bring a few kids in and have some extra staff come in and offer more of a classroom type setting for kids that needed it. Those are unfunded, unbillable programs, so you have to find the money for it. And Stormont Vale kind of stepped to the table and said, hey, this is something that we want to support. Let's figure out how to do it. And in that conversation led to, you know, their foundation gave us $25,000 to help out. And then we've had some really early conversations with just some local leaders who have kind of stepped to the plate and really written some checks and made some commitments to how important mental health is in the community and how important this project is to go forward and be successful.
So what about public funding? City, county, and maybe all seven counties that you serve?
Yeah, so that's one thing that we've really been having some conversations with a lot of people about is, even though this project is putting new locations here in Emporia, those locations are really the hub for all of the counties we serve. They turn to be the hub for, you know, our pharmacy that goes out to Osage or goes to Coffee or moves around. We have over 60 cars just within our agency. It's the headquarters for the people who take care of the cars and do all those things. So these headquarters really help with that aspect of all seven counties. As far as public funding, yesterday an announcement just got made. We were able to receive Kansas tax credits. So we received $150,000 in Kansas tax credits. The governor had put out a memo the other day and had our organization listed on there. So we were excited to have that. That'll allow us to continue to have some further conversation about raising money, which helps as well. And then we'll be having local conversations with local people as well. Amanda can really talk probably more about the capacity of all of our counties and how they support our agency on a regular basis.
Well, that kind of makes me want to back up and talk a little bit about the structure of us as an agency. We are a private nonprofit, so a lot of times people think we're a government entity or some sort of connection to the state, and really that's just not factual. So we operate on our own. We have a volunteer board of directors with representation from each of the seven counties. We do receive some state grant funding specifically to meet the requirements to be a community mental health center. So they license us, and in regards to that license, we have to meet certain criteria. And then the grant monies and the grant dollars really go to cover those. So things like, we're going to see somebody regardless of their ability to pay. And so those funds are supposed to help offset those costs. We have to provide psychiatric services. We have to provide 24/7 emergency psychiatric services. And so those are things that we utilize that funding for.
And that's available in all seven counties?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're licensed under one umbrella as a community mental health center, as Crosswinds. And so then with our seven county relationships that we have, we do go to each county and ask for some appropriations each year. And so we use those monies to help kind of offset those costs of serving individuals regardless of their ability to pay and emergency services and those sorts of things, because insurance doesn't always cover those things that we need in the moment. And so really wanting to provide those robust services but also have a return, because over 70% of what we bring in as revenue is directly related to the services we provide. So it's a fee for service, and that's how we kind of survive as an agency. But so in that, we do ask counties for appropriations. We have great relationships. We always see the value of that relationship, and they help support us in those capacities. And it's directly related to how many clients are we serving in those counties and the services that we provide. So they do help us annually as operationals.
And then what about through the legislature, through the state? Does the state help at all? Or
they do with their – they have through their grant funding typically. There's been lots of projects through COVID that have been extra, but mostly it's directly tied into those uninsured individuals and or specific tasks that they're asking.
Is this the area you work in, or do you have someone that – chases grants and financial officer that has to be up to speed? I mean, I would think you, who want to be a provider, yeah, that maybe getting into raising money wouldn't be quite as gratifying as helping people.
Well, I think for it to be gratifying, you've got to look at the big picture. And so we've talked a lot about, as our leadership team, of what we want to leave behind for Crosswinds. You know, I don't want the next one or two or three CEOs to have to worry about finding a new location. So are we going to get them a location that's secure, that's theirs, that can grow? You know, financially, we talk a lot as a board and as a leadership team of how do we make sure that we can cover this campaign? You know, we don't want to have debt because we're debt-free right now, where we're paying off buildings for forever and ever. You know, so we want to be successful with the campaign and make sure that we're not leaving them in debt. So that's gratifying to me, because if we can continue those things, and that means the community is going to get served. If we can provide a good culture as an organization and have good employees, which we have amazing staff, those are all the things that make it work in the long run, for sure.
Lucas mentioned tax credits. Are those already sold, or are you benefiting from that, or are they available to be purchased, or what's the situation?
We will benefit from that for sure. You know, as part of the application, we had to have some conversations with people and get some commitments to that, but that'll be part of that campaign and moving forward on how we do those asks and talk to people.
Yeah, you know, for our area, Steve, that those tax credits, we got $150,000 of tax credits that we get to sell. For the size of area and our project, those are 50% tax credits. So it will help generate about $300,000 of revenue for the campaign.
All right. Where do you guys want to go next? Where do you want to go next?
I think we just want to continue to talk about and make sure that people understand that we are here as a resource. I always just go back to understanding each of us can have those signs and symptoms. We can struggle with things. Even when we have the most healthy habits, there are still times when life is just hard. And life shows that to us on a regular basis.
All the time. Right.
You know, whether it's stress at work, stress at home, raising kids, changing jobs, having a death of a loved one. I mean, I just talk to people every day in my outside work life, and it's really hard to hear what everyone has to struggle with, and I know what I've had to struggle with, and it's just really important for people to recognize that it's okay to talk about those struggles and announce those things and ask for help, that it's not a big stigma or taboo topic, and it's not just the big things that we hear about in the news or in the movies of people that are severely mentally ill or very violent, because the truth, it gets tied to mental health, but the truth of it is that someone who's severely mentally ill are more likely to be harmed by others than they are to harm other people.
Okay, we'll continue this discussion. We need to get another break in. I want to ask you about cooperation with other entities in the area and in the counties, and we'll do that after we return. You're listening to the on-air chat. This is KVOE. We are live and we are local.
Hi, Craig Barnwell with CB Financial. I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. I can help you get the most sustainable income out of your Social Security, your 401ks, your IRAs, and your brokerage account. When you know what's coming in this month, next month, and every month, you'll be able to enjoy retirement to the fullest. Give me a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. Retire happy, retire with CB Financial. You can reach us at 620-208-6777.
Bruce Davis Construction, your go-to guys when you need commercial dirt work. From demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
Your morning big gulp of information. Ron Thomas, Chuck Samples, and Greg Ray. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Good morning.
KVOE live and local, and time now for a look at sports headlines being brought to you by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive. Call 620-342-2613 when your car needs help. You don't have to go where anyone tells you, go where you want. Now for the 24-hour KVOE newsroom and a look at all the sports you need, here is Greg Ray.
Thank you, Sean, and good morning. The Detroit Tigers outscored the Kansas City Royals 7-5 last night. It was a four-run seventh inning for Detroit that was the difference. Two of the runs were unearned thanks to three errors for the Royals offensively. Andrew Benintendi drove in two runs. Kyle Isabel was 3-for-3 with a run scored and an RBI. And MJ Melendez became just the third catcher in Major League history to hit a leadoff triple. Royals and Tigers wrap up their four-game series this afternoon. Brady Singer on the mound for the Royals. First pitch set for 1:10. You can hear the game here on KVOE. Both the Emporia Spartan baseball teams in action tonight. The Junior Spartans scheduled to host the Lyon County Baseball Club in their final home doubleheader. First pitch set for 6 o'clock at Soden's Grove. The seniors are in Topeka. They'll take on the Senators. Big 12 football media days underway in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium. Later on this morning, Kansas and Kansas State are scheduled to meet with the media. Emporia State's football team hosted their youth camp that wrapped up yesterday. 100 first through eighth graders participated in the camp this year. Emporia State will host two more camps, one tomorrow and the next one on the 21st. Both are showcase camps for 9th through 12th graders. Emporia State football season tickets are now on sale. To purchase your tickets, just go to Emporia State Athletic website, esuhornets.com, and click on the tickets tab. Reserved and general admission seats available, along with parking passes and tickets to the Hives. Emporia State will have 6 home games this season. That's a look at sports. I'm Greg Ray, KVOE, live and local.
Thank you, Greg. Sports headlines brought to you this hour by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive at 708 Lantern Lane. Information available in the Yellow Book and on the web at thurstonsplusautobody.com.
All right, welcome back. We have about 10 minutes left here on the on-air chat. Amanda Cunningham, CEO at Crosswinds, and Development Director Lucas Moody are our guests. And as usual, while we're on break, they have a pretty interesting discussion with Aaron. And, you know, where I want to go now is how to, if people out there listening feel the need, they have a relative that's struggling, or if you're struggling yourself, how do you avail yourself of these services? I know there's a new hotline, and you can talk about that, but how generally do you have to worry about confidentiality?
Well, we do worry about confidentiality. We want people to know that when they call that it's a safe call and that, you know, their business isn't going to be everywhere. That's really important in our field. But when they call, it starts from that moment. So as soon as we hear from them, you know, we help connect and refer to services, whatever that need is. So for us, you know, there's lots of ways to connect. We you know, we're strong believers in relationships. So sometimes we get a one-on-one call. You know, if someone knows myself or Lucas or any of our other staff in the community, they might call them directly and say, help me get access. The easiest way to do that would be to call our main number at 620-343-2211 and just say, I would like to start services, and they'll get them connected to appointments at that time. And then also we have a really robust and great website, crosswindsks.org, and there's a way that you can request a service on that as well, and we'll get return that call and get back to those individuals. So the process, again, and it's not difficult. We are excited. One of our big changes that's coming is we're going to move to what we call an open access style, which means instead of calling to get that appointment that might be anywhere from 5 to 10 to 12 days out, is that they can actually walk into the clinic and get the intake and the starting of that appointment right then. And why that's so impactful, one, as we all know, it's just easier to get things done when you're ready to get them done. But when we talk about mental health and the ebbs and flows of those everyday stressors and what's going on, I want to call and get the help that day is the day that I'm probably struggling the most. And so we want to make sure that we capture and get people in on those days instead of having them wait.
So there's going to be somewhere in all seven counties where you can just walk in?
Yep.
And where would that be in Emporia?
So it would be our main offices. I mean, just like now, it'd be the same locations that we serve individuals. And we're talking business time. So, you know, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 mostly. We have that capability now. We have 14 buildings all together throughout the seven counties. So we have kind of county seats, locations in each of those places. And we have them fully staffed with customer support, therapists, case managers, so that they can get those services there.
So I just walk in, walk up to the receptionist and say, I need to talk to somebody?
That's correct. That's what we're moving towards. And we have that now for crises. So if someone's in an emergency and you know, having thoughts of suicide or thoughts to harm others or just really disruptive symptoms, we can do that now for individuals.
Do you cooperate? I know the organization, I can't remember the name of it, but the suicide organization, I know we had a golf tournament over the weekend.
Yeah, Beacon for Hope, yeah. We do have lots of conversations with them. I mean, it's been a really nice opportunity to bring leadership team in for the campaign because you get to hear from other people kind of what the needs are, what they want to know as information. And so one of the things we did is created a visual representation of kind of all the agencies that we touch as a mental health entity. And really what it comes down to is there isn't an entity that we don't interact with on some level. So whether it's schools and the services we provide in them or the education we provide to their staff, whether it's law enforcement and the education or working collaboratively in response to somebody who's in crisis in the community, SOS is a huge community partner. Any of the foster care, child care, social service agencies, health departments, hospitals, and then any industry organization, and lots of people don't realize it, but we provide debriefings. So when somebody has something traumatic go on in an organization, somebody dies unexpectedly, we can go and do what we call a debriefing and really help their staff kind of walk through that experience and make sure that they're doing okay and have the opportunity to talk about their feelings and move forward. And so we just do lots of things. We might be an EAP for somebody. We might do education for different entities as well.
Well, I crafted a question because I heard on the news this morning, and it had to do with child care. And they talked about everybody from Emporia Child Care to the city to the tech school to ESU. That's a big issue.
It's a huge issue.
And I would assume it creates a mental health. There's a mental health element to it.
Well, it definitely could be. I mean, I think you could spin that question a lot of different ways. As a community, you know, we need more daycare spots. We see that with our employees. We've had some parents have to stay home and discontinue working for us in order to take care of that need. But also, you know, that increases stress for somebody. You know, if I needed to be out of the home and I appreciated my job and that was kind of my lifeline and now I can't do that, that's going to cause concern. You know, staying home with kids can be stressful. Some people might not be their forte. And so there's lots of ways that, yes, that would ultimately impact. But I think as a community, we definitely see that. We would love to figure out how to help that problem.
Well, it's good that there's a concerted effort, a lot of it being led by the city manager, which acknowledging that. Lucas, we're getting down towards the end. What have we missed? What would you like to?
Well, like we talked about when we were on break a minute ago, I think that the avenue and the look of mental health to the outside is probably going to look very similar, but there's a lot of changes that are happening. We've got we just got a new grant that we're getting ready to roll out and announce from the state of Kansas. It was a competitive grant for an ACT team, and really what it is it's saying, you know, right now we have that 24-hour access to care. If you have an emergency, you can call and get a hold of somebody. This is going to be a mobile response aspect, so we're going to be kind of launching it as small and building it as we go, but it's really going to be a mobile piece of it where we can get a phone call, and whether it's partnering with law enforcement or whether it's identified clientele that have high needs of being able to have a mobile access to say, if you need us, we're going to go to you. We're going to provide more intensive services and more robust services to you to try to prevent the other things that are happening and give you the treatment that you need. Amanda talked a little bit about that same-day access to care. There's just a lot of different components that are happening within the agency. We're currently in the middle of going to all of our programs and having in-depth conversation of answering questions of what we're going to look like in the future after this move. A few years down the road, there's going to be a lot of little small balls rolling into one big one. But the whole conversation continues to come back to, we want to get to a position where we're giving people what they need, rather than having to be limited based on an insurance billable or something along those lines. We want to make sure that the access to care that people need is there. And these moves are really going to help allow us to get to that point.
Amanda?
Well, so just to explain that a little bit, I think I referenced earlier that about 70% of our revenue comes from fee-for-service. So what's really happening as a transition across the nation, and right now, more pertinent to us is through Kansas, is moving to a cost-based system, mostly for the state individuals that are on the state insurance, which would allow us to actually provide the service that's needed and not be restricted by that fee-for-service type model. And so that's going to help us shift as an agency. Again, I think Lucas said it well. It's not going to be seen by the consumer so much, but it will really help us be a stronger business so that we can be more competitive with our staff and make sure that we have good wages and have that income coming in. Because on our fee-for-service structure, we haven't received an increase from that since 2016. There's actually a 4% increase this year on those services, but that's on top of it was 17% inflation over that time, but now this year's inflation is like 8%. So the 4%.
9.1 this morning.
Okay. So, we close that gap a little bit, but definitely isn't enough for us to be a strong entity that can lure staff in and keep staff, because there's a lot of competitive forces out there.
I may be opening Pandora's box, and we don't have time to probably answer this correctly, but so if I'm that person that wants to walk in this afternoon over at 1000 Lincoln Street and say, I need help or I need to talk to somebody, am I going to be charged? Do I need to be prepared, or is some of this service free?
It would depend on what happened next. So if you came in and said, I need help, and we set you up, through a conversation with an appointment in 7 days, what we call an intake appointment, that's not going to be a charge. If you come in and we put you with a provider today, there would be a charge to that. But what a lot of people don't know, again, going back to, we're tasked with serving people regardless of their ability to pay, is that we do take all insurances, one, but then two, for those individuals that don't have insurance, we do have a sliding fee scale. We also have a really robust internship program that if we have the opportunity, then we can put somebody with an intern that doesn't have insurance, and that's a free service.
And what's for an employee that has a decent insurance plan, their first few visits are covered normally?
They're covered. So it would be like going to your doctor. You have a copay.
Sure.
And then based on you can always look at the back of your insurance card and call. Our billing experts can call and help get that information as well. But they can tell you just how many visits you have and at what percentage they cover that cost.
And that's probably one of the most important things of the breaking stigma part, is that mental health itself is as important, if not more important, than your physical health. And I think that's
you're gonna
been
see
broken
a
lot more.
You're going to see a lot of that conversation that we're having now, that it really is a connected issue, that opening those doors of conversations, a lot of the questions we're going to be asking in the future and kind of moving to that model are educating on do you have your primary care physician? Who is your primary care physician? And really making sure that we're looking at it as a holistic view and not a separated issue, that there's a strong connection between both our physical health and our mental health.
Well, and it used to be, stress caused strokes.
Yeah.
And that was it. Hey, just try to de-stress a little bit.
Right.
Well, now there's services out there that can help you try to get rid of your stress and then maybe your health.
And fun fact, people that are experiencing mental health problems typically go to their primary care physician first, because we're having headaches, we're having the stomach aches, we're having knee and joint problems, because our mental health can radiate into those physical symptoms, and so we know we're not sleeping well. And so I hope you've seen that when you go to your physician that they're asking these questions, if you're feeling depressed or have you felt suicidal and those sorts of things, because they're great referral partners of ours. And we are working closely together to try to help individuals be more holistic and well. And that's all part of what we're trying to do.
All right. As we wrap this thing up, as we've been visiting with Amanda Cunningham, CEO of Crosswinds, and also Lucas Moody, who is her development director. I think we could wrap it up by saying 343-2211 is
a good
place to start.
Yeah,
or answer your questions.
Or starting Saturday. Is it Saturday?
The 988.
Starting Saturday, you can dial 988, and I'm sure at some point, if you just need services and you don't want to walk in or call, remember 343-2211, you can probably call 988 and they'll get you.
Yep, the 988 is the new national number, equivalent to 911 for those suffering from a mental health problem. It's primarily, there already is a suicide hotline, but it just reduces that full, however many digits a phone number is, down to three. And so that's a great resource. Also, if you call the 343-2211, I mean, we cover 24/7 services as well, so it will take you to a live person on the phone that direction as well. But both things together are going to be a really great asset to individuals. 988's much easier to remember, and they'll do an assessment and determine kind of what the next steps are and create referrals as they see fit.
Amanda, Lucas, thanks for coming. Don't be strangers. We'd love to have you back. Aaron?
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the On Air Chat. We've been brought to you by CB Financial. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial. See Craig Barnwell at 517 West 6th Avenue. And Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. Talk of Emporia is next here on KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Runaway inflation persists despite the Federal Reserve's interest rate hike to help cool the economy. The Consumer Price Index soared 9.1% in June.